This is considered to be the epitome of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, as it was exemplified by Lord Nityananda's mercy upon them. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says one very interesting thing in one purport in the Chaitanya Bhagavat when he describes the narration of this pastime. He says this particular pastime is not a historical event. It's not simply another pastime within the Shastra, but it's a constant phenomena of Lord Chaitanya's mercy that is happening today. So from that statement, from the self-realized soul, we can see that so many living entities are becoming blessed by the presence and the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was explaining today, how the many persons have left the land of Bhardvarsya, India, and have gone to many other shores in the Western world in order to take up activities that are very materialistic, thinking that money and other such material opportunities are actually sources of happiness. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent his associates to track down such personalities and bring them back to his lotus feet. Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is like this. If someone comes up to you and says, here is a donation, and you say, no, thank you very much, you're very kind, but do please keep it. And the person says, no, you take it. And you say, no, that's okay. And then the person takes it and he just pushes it in your hand and closes your hand and says, it's yours. That's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You can't get away from it. It's just like the air. It's all operating, especially here in the Holy Dham, in the area of Lord Chaitanya's birth. And that mercy is in such concentrated form. It's condensed in such absorption that it's like coming directly in. This is the spiritual world. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, his pastimes are unlimited like the ocean. And many people think that we need something in this world. Of course, this material world, people teach you that, or the society teaches you, you need something. You need to work, you need to have so many things. You need. You are incomplete, you are impoverished, both materially and intelligently, educationally, everything. So therefore you have to work so hard, you have to strive so hard, you have to struggle, you have to acquire so many things. But actually the soul is also, like Krishna, it's self-contained. It needs nothing but Krishna. It needs nothing but the opportunity for devotional service. So this idea that, or this propaganda that we need something, is simply the false statements of the materialists to trap people within this material world. But the only thing we really need is devotional service. Because through devotional service, everything is provided, both materially and spiritually. There's one particular pastime. Now, I tell this pastime, and I always give caution before I say this particular pastime, because if you don't have the faith, then don't follow this particular example. Only if you have that kind of faith. Srivas Thakur, of course, was one of the most intimate grihastha associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is none different than Sri Narada Muni. And Srivas Thakur had a very large household. And his whole family was living there. He had three brothers and their families, and children and relatives. And they all were living together. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srivas, "No, Srivas, you have so big a family, and yet you don't have any occupation. You don't do anything. You don't work. How do you live? How do you maintain yourself?" So Srivas Thakur's response was, he clapped his hands 3 times. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what does that mean? And then he did it again. He said, one day, if Krishna doesn't feed me, or provide for me, 2 days if Krishna doesn't provide, 3 days if there's no providing by the Lord, then I drown myself in the Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya roared in such ecstasy and happiness. He says, Srivas Thakur, you have faith, you understand everything. So he was so happy because he understood simply by devotional service. Krishna takes care. But then again, I give that disclaimer, the caution. Don't do it unless you have the faith of Srivas Thakur. But if you have that faith, it works. And that is Mahaprabhu's mercy. There's so many wonderful stories. The devotees asked me to speak about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I think here in the Dham, the pastimes of the Kirtan Ras is pretty much appropriate. Lord Chaitanya said to his devotees, he said, you know, every day we're going out and doing Harinam, but in the evening we're sleeping, and then of course during the day again we're doing Harinam. But we're wasting so much time in sleep. We should stop this, and we should have Harinam Sankirtan, we should have nocturnal kirtans every evening in the house of Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur, you arrange. So from then on, Lord Chaitanya and many of his intimate and most confidential devotee only went to the house of Srivas Thakur, and they would have kirtan every night. So one time, and Mukunda and Advaita Acharya, they would sing so sweetly, and Lord Chaitanya would go into such ecstasy, and he would dance and chant in pure love of God. And one time, and only certain associates of the Lord, only those devotees who had deep realization of the mellows of Radha and Krishna, could come into those Leelas, into those pastimes, and see Lord Chaitanya dance, because he would dance in the ecstasy of pure love of God, exhibiting all the ecstatic symptoms. Of course, the common people, especially the materialistic people, they would criticize. And they would say, all these devotees, they're just gathering together and they're engaging in all kinds of illicit and tantric activities. They trap young girls during the day and they do all kinds of unmentionable things, and that's why they don't want us to come. Because if we come, then we will expose them as cheaters. And the atheists, they would also criticize and blaspheme. And the pious people, where they say, oh, we're just not devoted enough. Lord Chaitanya is having his wonderful pastimes, but we're not on that platform. We can be able to get that fortune. We are so unfortunate. But Lord Chaitanya would continue. And one time, one Brahmin, he was a very simple Brahmin. He was performing austerities. He would only eat a little fruit and drink milk. And he heard about Lord Chaitanya's kirtans, and he wanted to take part. Actually, he wanted to see the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he approached Lord Srivas Thakur. And Srivas Thakur very much appreciated this personality because of his austerities. He was quite simple, very humble. But Srivas Thakur said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't allow anyone except his most confidential associates to come to these kirtans. So I don't think it'll be possible for you to come. But still I can see you're so very devoted. And you're very austere. If you hide, then you can come. So the Brahmin, he came in, and the kirtan began, and Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And after a few moments, he stopped, and he said, I'm not feeling my normal ecstasy. There must be somebody here who does not belong here. He says, Srivas, is there someone here that shouldn't be here? Srivas said, only your devotees are here. But there is actually one very, very humble, very, very simple Brahmin. And he wanted to see your dancing. So he has come. He lives simply by drinking milk and eating a little fruit. Lord Chaitanya, he became so angry. He roared in anger. He said, get him out of here right now before I destroy the entire universe. At that time, the boy, he came out of hiding. He fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, do you think you can capture Krishna simply by drinking milk? Krishna is only captured by pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya was angry. So the Brahmin, he got up, turned away, and started to walk out. But while he was walking out, he was thinking, now Lord Chaitanya is so kind. He's so merciful. And I did get to see his dancing. And while he was thinking like that, Lord Chaitanya, who of course is the indwelling super soul from the heart of all living entities, he called him back. And the Brahmin came back. And again, Lord Chaitanya said, engage in devotional service. Give up these austerities. Krishna is only captured by devotional service. Krishna is not bhakti, not jnana vatsal, not yoga vatsal, not karma vatsal. He's austerities, penances, even study of the Vedas, even chanting mantras and performing all kinds of ratas, offering pujas on very auspicious occasions. None of these things can actually attract the attention and the full mercy of the Supreme Lord, only by devotional service. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam phalam tayam yomi bhakti parashiti taraham bhakti uparatam asnami asnami payatat panaha. Krishna says, by a little devotion, if you offer me the most simple things, a leaf, a flower, and fruit and water, I will accept. But it's not these items that you offer that I'm interested in. It's your devotion. And what is that devotion? The devotion means we want to please Krishna. We want to please Krishna's devotees. So that is the actual devotion, the desire to please, the desire to take a little step forward beyond our comfort zone and to make an effort to engage in devotional service for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of God. When the Lord sees that, then He's very much attracted to that. So the Brahmin actually, he completely surrendered to Lord Chaitanya's desire. Actually, he became a very intimate devotee and took part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. There's another pastime in the house of Srivas Thakur, which shows the love of Srivas Thakur. Again, Lord Chaitanya was dancing. And this time, early in the evening, Srivas Thakur's son, who was only about a four-year-old boy, somehow, due to providence, it's mentioned in that particular story, doesn't say, but by the arrangement of providence, he was afflicted by a very deadly disease, and he died. And at that time, all the family members became overwhelmed with sorrow and started to cry and wail. And Srivas Thakur came in. Srivas Thakur came in and he said, what is wrong? And he said, oh, your son has died. Oh, but please don't make noise. Lord Chaitanya's dancing is going on and we don't want to do anything to disturb Lord Chaitanya's mood. So Srivas Thakur became a little upset and he pacified the family members and the kirtan went on. After about 7.5 hours later, Lord Chaitanya said, he stopped. He said, Srivas, is there some calamity that's happened here? some misfortune. I feel something's wrong. And Srivas said, actually, my lord, wherever you are, how can there be any misfortune? But my son died. Your son died? When? About 7.5 hours ago. Take me to him. So he went into the room, and the boy was laying there. The family members were still overwhelmed with grief. Lord Chaitanya came, and he placed his hand on the chest of the boy, and the boy sat up. Lord Chaitanya said to him, where have you gone? Why have you left us? He said, I am your eternal servant. I know nothing but your instructions, and by your arrangements, you have arranged for me to serve you in some other place, so I am simply following your orders. So I have left the home of my father and family members. And while he was speaking, all the family members became enlightened in the truth. And then he sat back down and died. Left his body. The soul doesn't die. See, the idea of death is an illusion. There's a statement in, actually it's a Bengali proverb, or Bengali aphorism. What is the worst thing? Death. But for the soul, there's no birth, no death, no beginning, no end. Actually, the soul is eternal. The body dies, and because the body actually is never alive. This material body that the soul inhabits is simply a combination, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. And it's given animation, it's given life by the presence of the soul. So the body is always dead. And at one time, due to the arrangements of Providence, it will stop functioning. But the soul of the person continues. So what is the fear of death? The fear of death is simply due to the attachment to this material world. When the soul develops its attachment and attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in devotional service, it actually develops its real attachment, its real attraction, and its real happiness. And then it loses its attraction, attachment, and involvement in this material world. And then as time goes on, one starts to realize that death is simply an opportunity to move forward closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One gets the reward for this life of devotional service and either goes back home, back to Godhead to associate with the Lord, or gets a better situation where they continue on in their devotional service. So for a devotee, one engaged in devotional service, death is not a fearful situation. Actually, Yamaraj, he instructed his disciples, his followers, the Yamadutas, he says, don't touch the Vaishnavas. They are surrendered to my master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. And therefore you should stay away from them. So that is actually, the fear of death is actually due to the attachment to the temporary attraction of this material world. But to come to that stage of being free from all concerns of this material body, engage in devotional service, it is a process of purification. And Lord Chaitanya is very, very merciful. And this Harinam Sankirtan movement is actually an unlimited ocean of enjoyment, spiritual enjoyment, real enjoyment, where the soul and simply starts to associate again in its proper element. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, dancing in ecstasy, and taking nice Krishna prasadam. Prabhupada was speaking one time, he said, chanting, dancing, and eating Krishna prasadam, feasting, that is the sum and substance of this Krishna consciousness movement. And someone said, Prabhupada, yes, but we have so many things to do. Prabhupada said, no, It's simply chanting, dancing, and feasting. But Prabhupada, you know, we have this that service and that service. Prabhupada said it's all chanting, dancing, and feasting. When you actually have that realization through the process of chanting and dancing and feasting, you'll realize that everything is actually simply an opportunity for glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's really nothing else. And there's one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, in the house of Advaitacharya, there was Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, and Hari Puja. Hari Puja. And Prabhupada writes in the purport of that particular verse that this is the only activities of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, and Hari Puja, or worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we actually meditate on this, and we see that everything falls into these three one of these three categories. Glorifying the Lord, worshipping the Lord, and chanting the names of the Lord and speaking about the glories of the Lord. Satam prasangam mamavirasam vidho bhavanti hikana rasayana kata. This chanting and dancing and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is actually the nectar for which we are always anxious. In this material world, there's so many, many, many topics of discussion. But they just leave you so dry and so unhappy. You may have to involve yourself in these activities in order to somehow or other maintain one's existence in the material world. There's no pleasure in these things. They're simply, what we say, at least at one time in our life, a necessary burden that we may hopefully be relieved of in due course of time. But actually, we're meant simply for devotional service to the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and made the process so very nice. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pariksijam Mamekam Sadaram Bhajam Aham Tvam Sarva Prapebhyo Moksha Yashyami Masuchaha. And then after Krishna said that, he was thinking, maybe I made it too hard. I'm asking everyone to surrender. So let me revise that. I came again and said, don't worry about surrender, just chant Hare Krishna. And if you feel a little happy by chanting, then you can dance. And when you dance and you become a little tired, you take some Krishna prasadam. And then after you take some prasadam, you chant again, and then you dance again, and you take some more prasadam. And in this way, you lose track of time. The Lord Chaitanya is very, very merciful. When the devotees were having kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, the common people would complain. The Brahmins, smarter Brahmins, the Sahajiyas, the atheists, and actually even many of the persons who were followers of the Hindu culture and Hindu tradition, and they would say, why are these devotees, why are these persons just making so much noise, or just chanting so loudly the name of the Lord? You know, the Lord is sleeping, and you're going to wake him up, and if you wake him up, he'll become mad and destroy the whole universe. So what kind of religion is this? And besides that, this Chankazi, who is the ruler of this area, when he finds out these people are just publicly displaying this religion, he'll come and he'll just punish everyone. So it was actually the Hindus, or the persons who were somewhat pious, they actually complained to the Qazi. And then the Qazi came. And then when he saw the kirtan, he came, and of course, he smashed the mridanga. And they went into the town and started to punish many of the townspeople. So when this happened, the devotees became a little bit timid and didn't perform the Harinam Sankirtan. And then Srivas Thakur, he was in his house, and he was worshipping his deity of Lord Nrisingadev and praying. At that time, Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Srivast Thakur in the mood of Lord Nrisingadev. And he didn't knock on the door, he pushed the door out and came into that. He said, "Srivast, what are you so fearful about? When I'm here, there's no fear. What can this Chankazi do? He's simply an insignificant insect. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can't do anything that I don't inspire him to do. And even if he does act independently, then I will take steps. He can call all his pundits, he can call all his priests, he can call all his mullahs and have them chant the slokas from the Quran and their scriptures and see if they can make the animals dance. And they will try and they will fail. And then I will come and perform Harinam Sankirtan. And I will chant and dance and all the animals, all living entities will dance in ecstasy." So Srivast, give up this fear. And then Lord Chaitanya arranged from Nagar Sankirtan. He was the first civil disobedience program. Since then, devotees have been engaging in this activity of civil disobedience. There's one beautiful pastime. This happened in 1987, when I was preaching in Cincinnati, Ohio. Have you all seen that book that has just been released? It's called Legacy of Love. It's about one very, very special Mataji, whose name was Landini. She was a devotee at the New Vrindavan community, and she used to worship Lord Jagannath. And she would worship Lord Jagannath completely absorbed in her service. She was absorbed. 24 hours a day she would take care of Jagannath. And in those days the conditions were very, very simple and very, very austere. We had practically nothing. But yet she was always blissful. And after some time she started to become more and more involved in reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And from that she became inspired to engage in preaching. So I remember one time we were doing Harinam Sankirtan in one big city in America called Cincinnati, Ohio. And about 25 devotees, some had come from New Vrindavan, some were from Cincinnati. And there was this big, big, big city festival going on. It was called the Taste of Cincinnati, where all the restaurants in the city would put out their little stands and give samples to the public. And people would pay great amounts of money to put their stands out. So we came in with about 25 devotees and did Harinam Sankirtan. Now you have to remember, this is America. And it's usually quite unusual to see such people on the streets. And many times it's also illegal. So we came, 25 devotees, and we were having kirtan and through the city. Because this is a big festival. And after a few hours, the police started to say, "You know, you guys we're getting some complaints, so you better stop your kirtan." But we didn't stop. We just kept going. She was there, and she had her Gornitai deities with her. She would carry Gornitai with her wherever she went. She had her own deities of Gornitai. She would carry them around. They were about 14 inches high. And she had a book table. So the police became a little bit angry, so they started to arrest the devotees. They called the paddy wagons, and they were putting the handcuffs and putting the devotees in the wagons. So they came up to her and said, "You're under arrest." And she said, "Okay, but you have to take them also," pointing to Gornitai. And they said, "Okay." So Gornitai went to jail that night, along with about half of the devotees. And this was on a Saturday. And they had to stay overnight, and then the whole next day. And then Monday was the court. So during that time, she was just preaching. to the police, to the other inmates. She was giving darshan of Gaur Nitai. So the morning they had a little court hearing, and the judge was there, and the devotees were there, and the judge said, you know, you guys are causing some disturbance. People pay big money to have this place, to have their stands out. But I'm going to let you all go without any punishment if you promise not to do it again. It was pretty nice, judge. So there was one sannyasi there. He said, Your Honor, we promise we will not do it again. She said, and she got up and she said, I'm sorry, we can't make that promise. She pointed to Gaur Nitai. She said, they have ordered us to perform this Sankirtan movement. They are the Supreme Lord. We have to follow their orders. So I'm sorry, we can't give you that promise. The judge was mortified. He didn't know what to say. He looked at the police, and the police looked at him. You know what? And he just said, all right, get out of here, go. She was really bold. This was because she had such faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement. She was completely fearless. Completely fearless. So Lord Chaitanya demonstrated that with his Harinam Sankirtan. He called all the devotees together and he said, go to every house and notify the townspeople. Tonight we will have Nagar Sankirtan, and bring torches and begin Sankirtan. So Lord Nityananda was there, Advaita Acharya and all the Lord Chaitanya's associates. And then Lord Chaitanya just began dancing. And it was amazing, from all over the universe, it's explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur in this particular pastime. The devotees were coming, and there were millions and millions of people chanting and dancing. And this kirtan became so uproarious. Lord Chaitanya arranged for devotees to dance within different groups. And Lord Nityananda said, I want to dance with you, referring to Lord Chaitanya. So those two danced together in the front, and following that by Advaita Acharya and Gadadhar and Haridas Thakur. And they were going from all the way up to the house of the Chankasi. But the kirtan was quite unusual, because it was not only chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Devotees became so empowered by the chanting of the holy name that they became completely fearless of the Kazi. And after a while, they started to remember about all the Kazi's harassment and all the punishment. And then they started to chant along with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. They started to chant, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi, kill the Kazi. And it was like a combination of two mantras. And as the chanting was going on, and more people were being absorbed into the chanting, finally the thieves within the area were saying, ha ha, this is the opportunity we've been waiting for. The houses are empty, now we will go in and have a festival. But then again, as soon as they started to think and act like that, the kirtan was so powerful and so all-pervading. It was like, and it says the entire universe was shaking by the sound of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The thieves, they actually forgot they were thieves. And they just joined the kirtan. And they were chanting and dancing along with everyone else. And then gradually they started to move closer to the house of the Kazi. And the Kazi, he came out and he said to his followers, what are all these Hindus doing? They know they shouldn't be doing this public demonstration. Didn't they learn from my punishment? So go see what is happening. So the servants of the Kazi, they came out. And when they came close to the kirtan, it was so powerful, so uproarious. that they actually became fearful, and they hid their beards within their shirts so no one would see they were Muslims. Some of them actually started to chant because not, they didn't start to chant because they wanted to chant. It's just that they were so infected by the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name that the sound just immediately came from their lips. And they started to chant, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So they went back to the Qazi and they gave their report, but they were in such fear. And said, there's millions of these devotees and they're coming this way and they're chanting and dancing and we're also chanting. In fact, we can't stop chanting. This Krishna mantra has just affected my mind so much. So then the Qazi, he became fearful, and then he saw what was happening. He ran into his house. It's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur that when they came to the house of the Chan Qazi, they just start smashing the house, breaking it, and uprooting his garden, and tearing everything. They were so empowered by the holy name. Of course, that's not the usual kind of kirtan we have. But someone asked Srila Prabhupada, of course, this question was asked to Prabhupada many times. How do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, I feel powerful. The holy name is Krishna. And Krishna, Nija Sarva Shaktis, all of Krishna's energies are there within Krishna's holy name. So the holy name is actually none different than Krishna. And of course, the Lord, when he came to the house of the Chan Qazi, he called the Qazi, but the Qazi didn't come out. Finally, after some time, he came out, and he was shaking. And the Lord said, I'm your guest. I could come to see you, and why are you hiding from me? He said, well, you're not my normal type of guest. And then, of course, it's described that the Lord was very, very respectful and started to preach to the Qazi about meat eating, about the importance of following proper scriptures. And he explains that there was a wonderful debate between Lord Chaitanya and the Chan Qazi. Finally, the Qazi admitted that he had a dream a previous night, and in this dream, this personality who was half man and half lion, and in his dream he jumped on my chest and he was ripping my chest apart, and he said, if you ever try again to stop this Sankirtan movement of my devotees, I will tear you to pieces. And then he opened up his shirt and he showed Lord Chaitanya, and on his chest were all these marks, nail marks. Of course, that was Sringa Bhagavan Ki. So devotees have nothing to fear because Lord Nisringa here is always with us. And he's very merciful. So I've been given a little notice. It says, please end the class at 8:15. So that's about 8:15. But now the yatra is about to begin. And I believe Radhanath Maharaj is due to arrive very, very soon, if he isn't arrived as of yet. He's due to come in this evening. So please absorb yourself in this chanting. Forget about your jobs. Forget about your family concerns. Forget about your bodies. Forget about all these things that are simply, what we say, extraneous to this yatra. And absorb yourself in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And that way we become so filled with Lord Chaitanya's mercy that when we go back to our respective areas, we can actually be an instrument to preach the glories of the Lord. And that's what we really aspire to. To somehow or other imbibe this mercy so we can give the mercy to others. Because that is the second half of one's spiritual development. In the beginning, we're concerned about how to make spiritual progress. But as we make spiritual progress, we start to see that to continue to make spiritual progress means to give the same mercy that we have received to others, and then one's spiritual life continues to go on unlimitedly. So here's a great opportunity to fill up on the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take that mercy and bring it back to wherever we are and to distribute it unlimitedly. And as Lord Chaitanya explained, that this storehouse of love of God is unlimited. There's so many fruits, and as you distribute the fruits, the storehouse becomes even larger and larger. There's no diminution, there's no loss. Whatever you give, actually you get. This is the beauty of spiritual life. By giving, we actually get. When we try to get, and then many times we really can't understand what is happening. And we simply try to give this mercy to others, one way or the other, somehow or other inspire another to make their life one in devotional service. So thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity to speak a little of the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please observe yourself in this wonderful yatra, chant, dance, and take nice Krishna prasadam and go deep into the leelas of Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki Leela Prabhupada ki Samaveda Vaktavinda ki Gaura Devananda. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.